You're listening to the weekly teaching podcast of Willamette Christian Church in Westland, Oregon. We hope that what you hear today inspires you to laugh, question, think, and grow. If you'd like to connect with us even further, hit us up online at willamette.cc or shoot us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
This morning, as Brandon mentioned, we're starting a brand new series called Songs in the Key of Life. Maybe you're like me, you have a Spotify playlist that you go to on occasions where you just try to go, okay, what mood am I in? And so I'm going to find the music that fits that mood for the moment. Maybe I'm feeling like praiseworthy and excited. And so I'm like, okay, where's my rock jams? Where's the things that I can just sing, the ballads that I can go? Or maybe it's like, man, I'm feeling a little melancholy today. And so I want my easy listening music. I even have a couple of different playlists that I listen to for when I'm studying and writing sermons. And there's no lyrics, they're just musicals. And I can just sit and just listen to it. And my wife will often walk in and she's like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, this helps me focus, okay? This is my jam. Because we have music like that. And I just want you to know, one of the things that we've done as a church, our team put together a Spotify playlist. And so you can go to Spotify or willamette.cc/songs. And here there's just a whole list of songs that are going to sort of correlate with this sermon series that we're in. And so you're going to have some thanksgiving and some wisdom and some praise and some lament. Some of them are songs you maybe are familiar with and that we sing here. Some of them you might not be. But we just wanted to do that because music allows us to feel what we're thinking. And it puts us into words in different ways than maybe you would anticipate, you wouldn't really always go to. And there's some songs that they're individual songs. They're the ones that I listen to that are just for me. And I'm like, this is my jam. This is my thing. There's other songs, though, they're corporate. They're more for everybody. They're the sing-along. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at one of the more corporate psalms. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Psalm chapter 136. We're going to look at it. And it's a psalm that David wrote, and it was supposed to be a back-and-forth worship song. You see, worship is never supposed to be something that's passive. Worship isn't something that we just come and kind of stand and watch other people do. It's supposed to be something that we engage in. And what you'll see is that throughout this entire psalm, David's going to say a phrase, and then everyone else is going to say, his love endures forever. And it was supposed to be this back and forth chorus that they would sing together. Because sometimes songs are written not for the individual, but for the group. And we know that to be true. Maybe there's this one, right? That if you all of a sudden you just heard this beat. What is that? We Will Rock You by Queen, right? I mean, it's just one of those things that you love and you're like, yeah, like let's get up and stand and like especially right before we have a fight and then it's two knights that are running at each other and trying to knock each other off of their horses, right? It's like it fits all genres and apparently time periods as well. Yeah, and then let's see, there was maybe you're like me, there's this one where you just go, because I've got friends in... See, you can't help it. You got to jump into it, right? You just got to, and unless everyone's like, low places. Like you're trying to get down there. You're like, I can't do it, but I have to. Because there's just these sing-along songs, or maybe a more modern one of, it goes, I can make your hands clap. Now, here's the thing. You just, the demographics in this room just split on that one. Now, everybody knew the first couple, but there's a certain age and under where you're like, like, you are in it, and everybody else is like, I've never heard that before. But that's a corporate sing-along song? It is, okay? There's this thing called Spotify. It's got modern music on it. But it's so much fun, right? Because there's just these songs that we do, and that's what David is doing in Psalm 136. He's saying, hey, this is a song that we can sing together. It's a song that no matter what season of life you're in, you can come and you can enjoy and you can pray this way. And we're going to see today in the goodness of God. And we're going to see that David is thankful. He's a king, a warrior poet, and he is thankful for what God has done. And I think we can all grow in our heart of humility and thankfulness. Maybe you came in this morning and you had an amazing week. Hey, your life is just going good. Your kids went back to school. You had your freedom again, and you're just feeling great about life. And you're like, yeah, I am thankful for so many different things. And I could write them down, and this is, oh, yes, come on, I want this. Maybe that's you. But I also know that there's people that walked in that maybe this last week or two, you got a diagnosis. And life isn't going so good and it's harder and you're just seeing the future and it's unknown and you're feeling down and broken and it's a season of fear and anxiety and you're going, really, thankfulness? Where's my lament? We'll get to that in a couple weeks. But I believe that thankfulness is something that if we can shift our perspective, that no matter where you're at, no matter your season, you can find something to be thankful for. All we have to do is be willing to look around and find the things in our life to be thankful. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. I just want us to see that we have an amazing life that we can be thankful for and that we can praise God for it. Look at verse 1 in chapter 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts. His love endures forever. You see, David starts out here, and the very first thing he says in verse 1 is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Notice where David starts. He says that we are thankful for who God is, not what God can do for us. And that's a distinction that is worth noting. That David, in the beginning of this, he says, God, I am thankful for who you are, that you are the source, you are the substance of goodness, that everything in life that can be good comes from you, that God, you have given this to me. And so when I hit this spot where I go, I'm tired of trying to figure it out on my own or to cope or to make ends meet, and I'm gripping life and I'm going through and it's a struggle and it's hard, God, no, I get to just come to you and say, God, I'm thankful that you are good. That you are an amazingly good God. Because that's not where we always start. In fact, I would even say that most of us in our relationship with Jesus, we didn't start with trusting in him because he is good. We trusted in him because of what he can do for us. And that's not bad. Like, again, everybody starts there. In fact, most relationships start that way. And that if you and I were to be in relationship with one another, at the beginning of that relationship, I'm looking at you going, hey, what can you give me? Like, why would I be in relationship with you? What is it that I can get out of this? How are you going to benefit my career? How are you going to help me get ahead? What are you going to teach me? What can I know? I need to know that you're going to give me something in this relationship, or I'm not sure that we could be friends. That's how they all start. And if they stay that way, well, that's not a healthy relationship. Because what happens is when it stays there and all of a sudden I'm not getting from you what I think I need to get from you, I distance myself from you and I go, I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And we all start there, and we start there with God. We go, God, I understand that I'm far from you, and I've rebelled against you, and yet you love me. Your love endures forever. And so, God, I need your love. I need your grace. I need your mercy. God, I want to be in relationship with you because of what you can give me. It starts there, and that's not bad. But like every healthy relationship, it should move to a spot where I'm not in relationship for what I can get from you. I'm in relationship simply because of who you are. Those of you that are in marriages, you know that that's the way it's supposed to work. When I first started dating my wife, right, at first it was what I could get out of it. It was like, man, she's from Hawaii. I want to be able to say that I'm dating a girl from Hawaii. Like, that's cool. That's a cool badge I can wear. I want that. Like we have this joke in our relationship that when we started dating, I was dating her because I wanted a trip to Hawaii. And I figured at some point I got to go visit my girlfriend's parents. And then I went out there and she was like, well, now why are you dating me? And I was like, because you play golf in college. And that means I could get on the course for free. And so I want to go because I'm getting something out of this. And then she quit the golf team. And she was like, so now why are you dating me? And I was like, well, because I've seen what your mom looks like. And you're going to age well. And so, like, that's where I'm at on this. Like, it's all what I can get out of it. And I would look at her and go, why are you dating me? And she's like, social status. That's all. Right? At first, it's what we can get out of it. But had we stayed there, that wouldn't be a healthy relationship. Now, I love that my wife gives me all of these things. And yes, I receive so much from her. But I also just love to be in her presence. Because I've fallen in love with who she is. The subtle things that she does, the way she goes through life. And that's a relationship that's safe and secure and means the seasons where I'm getting what I think I need from her, that's great. And then there's the seasons where we're not getting that and we go, that's okay because that's just the season. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because of who you are. You see, that's where David starts in the psalm. He says, God, I love you because you are good. I am thankful for you because you are good. You are the source and the substance of all things that are good. And so, God, I just want to thank you for who you are. He goes on to expound on that a little bit when he says that he's the God of gods and the Lord of lords. Well, what he means by that is he's saying, hey, I know that people around me, they believe in different gods and different spiritual entities. And God, you're above all of those. You are the one true God. And so the spiritual things that are out there, be it other gods that people seem to believe in or angels or demons and spiritual warfare and all of this stuff, it seems so mystery to me. God, I believe that you are over all of that. And so God, you're in control. And so I love you for who you are, being over that. God, you're the Lord of lords. God, I know that there's things in my life that I tend to sort of give leadership over to, and I let them have authority in my life, and they shouldn't. Sometimes they're relationships, but sometimes they're substances. Sometimes they're things that I just can't seem to let go of because my identity is so wrapped up in them that it's ruling over me. This is what we talk about in Rooted when we use the word strongholds. Listen, we all know that we have strongholds and struggles, and we give them a peace and a place of authority in our lives that they don't deserve, but we need to remember who God is and that he lords over those. And so, God, I am thankful that no matter how many things I try to put on the throne, it doesn't thwart the fact that you're on the throne. And so, God, I am just thankful for who you are. David begins with saying, God, I'm going to be thankful for who you are, not what you can do for me. But then he gets to what God has done. He moves on in the next verse to say, God, here's what, I am thankful for what you have done. Look at verse 4. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. You see, David here, he goes, God, I am thankful for what you have done. I'm thankful that you have done amazing things for me. He begins with the wonders of the world. Have you ever just been out in nature and stopped and wondered in awe at what you're looking at? And just gone, this is mysterious to me, and I don't even know how it's there, but it's amazing. Maybe it was when you were at the ocean and you just see the waves crashing. And for me, every time I'm like, they're always doing this. No matter what's going on in my life, this is consistent. So one of my favorite things about living here and working at this church, right, is I on a clear day, I can stand outside of the building here and see all the way to Mount Hood. And I'd love to just take a moment in the middle of my day and go, wow, that's beautiful. That's amazing. I love to go on a hike and to get out in nature and to see, God, let me just be in awe of your wonder and your nature. God, as I walk into a cave, as I hike around another corner, as I see a waterfall or a stream or a rainbow, or God, I just, wow. Thank you for this. Thank you for creating the world in a way that I can enjoy it. You may or may not know this, but all sounds come on a frequency. And it's somewhere around 432 hertz. It's a frequency that all of nature seems to be on. And scientists have dug into this and looked at it. And you can go find playlists. And you type in like a 432 hertz playlist. Because they found that frequency is the best kind of the spot to listen to music so that you can focus and meditate and concentrate. Which is why when you're out in nature and you can just sort of sit by yourself and you begin to tune in to the noises around you, it calms you. Because you were created by a God who created a universe to allow you to enjoy that and to see that. When hiking with my family this past week, we were out at Cape Lookout. And there's a trail that we can go on. We'd hiked about 3/4 of a mile in. And we stopped to take a little snack before turning around and heading out. And as we stopped there, the kids were having their you know, crackers and their fruit snacks or whatever, and we were trying to get them to sit still because there's a little bitty drop-off over there. And so we're just going like, hey, hang out for a minute. But the trail kept going, and we'd never gone further than spot. And so I just was like, I'm going to check it out. And so I just kept going and turned to the corner, and I got around the corner, and that's where I couldn't hear my kids anymore. And I stopped. I just listened. Could hear the waterfall that we'd passed earlier just briefly trickling as this time of year, it's not a steady flow. I could hear the ocean in the background, the leaves rustling. I'm sure some critters running around. It was this moment where I was just like, thank you, God. Man, I needed this. Stood there for maybe a couple of minutes, and then I walked back to where my kids were because I'd left my wife alone with our children. And so I was like, I need to be a better husband. And so I walked over there, and I was like, hey, babe, I've got them real quick. I said, hey, you got to go around the corner. You just walk in and babe, go spend 5 minutes, go spend 10 minutes, go and just connect and be thankful for God and what he's done. And she walked over there and she sat there for a moment and I took care of the kids and came back and I was like, how was it? And she goes, oh, it was great. Because David's going, God, I just see your wonders all over the place. And in verse 5, he says, who by his understanding made the heavens? He's going, it's God's understanding that made these things, which means when we're in nature and we can see and we can commune for just the general things that he has given to everybody, we begin to meet God in those moments. We begin to meet him there and we can be thankful for him and what he's done because he's created it in such a beautiful and amazing way. Let me maybe illustrate it for you this way. God does it in a way that's artistry. It's creativity. He doesn't do it in a mundane, boring kind of a way. I want to invite out here real quick a friend of mine, Matthew. Come on out, man. You guys know Matthew. Give it up. Let Matthew know. Hey. So you know, Matt's normally, he's up here leading us in worship and does an amazing job of that. And what you may not know is that not only does he have a great wife and two beautiful daughters, but he's also a really good musician. And so I wanted to just invite him out to sort of help us understand the creativity of God and how he's designed the world to help us know him. And so Matthew, if you would, just lay down a D for me. So this is the chord. It's D. It's something that you do in music. And if you were to just play a song, you could just stay right there on that. But it's kind of boring. It's not really fun. But if you know what you're doing, all of a sudden I could go, hey, can you give me a little rock and roll? All of a sudden, I hear that and I'm like, I can feel that. Yeah. I mean, right? I mean, you can feel it a little bit more, but it's still just D. It's just D. That's all that was. But then you can get a little funky, right? You know, you can put some stank on that, as I hear they say, right? Now you kind of start grooving a little more. I can feel it. Some of you are starting to nod your heads and tap your toes, and you're just getting into it. Even though it's still just D, you can feel it. But then, man, get uptown funky with it. Like, really take us home. Right? It's a little more percussive. Now I want to grab somebody and start dancing. You want to have someone, because now we've added creativity and beauty and texture, but the entire time it's still just D. He's just been on D. See, now you hear the difference. One, you're like, that's boring. I wouldn't want to listen to that. It's the same note. There's just texture added to it. Awesome, man. Thank you so much. You see, that's what God has done with creation. As he stepped in and he said, yeah, I could have just given you that steady note. I could have given you the cycles where the sun comes up and the sun goes down. I could have done all of that, but I didn't do that. What I did was I gave you sunrises and sunsets. I could have just given you the dirt of the earth, but I didn't do that. What I did was I gave you trees and flowers and grass and things to enjoy and to smell. He goes, I could have just given you food to give you nutrients so that you could just continue to survive, but instead I made it taste good. And then I gave you this brain that allows you to fuse it together, these different regions of the world, and have food that's amazing that you want to enjoy and take part in. You see, we serve a God that is so creative and beautiful and wonderful that he goes, hey, I love you enough and my love endures and I've done this for all humankind so I can begin to love God for the generalities in life. Verse 6, he talks about the fact that God has created the earth over the waters. What you need to understand there is that the waters for them, that they weren't this like thing for us where we look at it, it's like, oh, the waves are crashing the lake. I love to grab the boat and go out and do some fishing or whatever. Like, the water for them was not something that was safe and secure. It was something that was crazy and dangerous. In the ancient Near Eastern world that they've come out of, every single other mythological religion around them, what they would do is if you would go read their recordings of these other religions, what would happen is there was multiple gods, and these gods would begin to fight against one another, and inevitably, whichever god lost, the big cosmic battle was cast into the sea or into the ocean, where they were banished to live, and every now and then they would rage up and cause all sorts of storms and hurricanes and trouble. And so it became this place of fear for the people. They didn't go out on the water because they wanted to. They went out because they had to. And not only that, if it's a pre-scientific world and you know that when something sinks in the ocean, it's gone, you're not getting it back. So there's this fear of that's where things go and we don't know what happens to it. And David is stepping in and he's going, God, you've placed the earth on the foundations of the ocean. You are a God that is above and beyond my greatest fears. And so I can, in the midst of turmoil and chaos and things that are coming at me that I don't know how to deal with, I can go, God, but you have overcome them. So God, I can thank you for your generalities because you've given those to all people. You've given them to every single person. Verse 7, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. You see, that's what David is doing, is he's saying, God, you've created it all. You've done with dealt with our tragedy, and you are beautifully creative in it. You've given us all of these things that we can enjoy. And so yes, 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 God, we are going to thank you for who you are, but we're also going to thank you for what you have done. And that's something that you give to everyone. The New Testament would say that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And so we can be thankful for these things. And then in verses 10 through 24, what David does here is he just begins to recount the history of Israel. And he just starts to go through the history and say, God, here's all of these things in history that you have done that we need to be thankful for. And this was a rhythm of Jewish culture. It was something that they would do on a regular basis where they would just look back to the past and be thankful for the things that God has done. Because what happens inevitably is there's these moments where I'm like, God, I'm thankful for who you are. But sometimes I lose sight of that. And so God, I'm thankful for the general things in life that we all participate in. But then I kind of go like, yeah, but God, what are specific things that I can be thankful for? Like, I need something for me. And that's where David goes, oh, let's recount our history. Let's look back and see how God has done things uniquely in our life. And this was a rhythm for them. Every year they would have this festival that they would participate in called the Seder dinner or Passover. It's around the same time as Easter. And one of the things that you would do at these dinners was there was a script that everybody would sit around the meal and they would read the script together. And as they read the script, they would recount the things of the past. And there's this specific spot there. There's four cups of wine that are a part of the Seder meal. And one of them is the cup of deliverance. And when they would begin to recount how God had come through for them and delivered them and taken care of them, there was this word that they would corporately say together, very much like this psalm. The word is Dayenu. Dayenu means it would have been enough. And what they do is they go, okay, God, had you delivered us from slavery in Egypt, but not got us across the Red Sea, it would have been enough. God, you got us across the Red Sea. Had you done that and not given us the first five books of the Bible, it would have been enough. God, had you done that but not given us the Sabbath day, it would have been enough. God, had you done that but not given us the promised land, Dayenu. They just begin to go back and say, God, I see your blessing over after blessing, and it would have been enough. It would have been enough. But God, you have been so gracious to us. And as a follower of Jesus, every single time I read that, I can't help but go, well, wait a minute. God, you gave yourself. You came and you lived a life that I could not have lived, that when I was far from you, you died for me, that you love me enough that I don't have to earn your love or gain your love or try to become good enough so that you would love me. God, you just loved me to the point that you died on a cross and you rose again. God, if you had only done that, that would have been enough. But then you gave me the Holy Spirit, God, to dwell in me. Like, how crazy and wondrous and weird is that? Like, God, had you given me the Spirit, that would have been enough. But then you gave me your scriptures. And God, you gave me the New Testament and then all of the Old Testament that I can glean from and learn from of who you are in your heart. And God, had you done that, that would have been enough. But then you gave me the church that I can be a part of and come and be spurred on to love and good deeds and be encouraged and sit in community with one another. God, had you done that, that would have been enough. But then I begin to go, wait, and you've given me my family and my kids and a job. And God, oh my, you have done enough. And I begin to see in my life where God has been specifically gracious to me because I begin to recount all of the things that he's done. And now my perspective begins to shift and I can go, God, I am so thankful. Even though life seems to be great or hard, and maybe both, I can be thankful for you. I can be thankful for what I do have in the midst of difficult circumstances. And now I can join in with the psalmist and the whole congregation that is singing, even when I don't feel like it, I can declare thankfulness in who God is because my perspective has changed. And I begin to see that I can be thankful. And so for us, what I would encourage us is just this week, look for places that you can be personally thankful. Find those areas where you can look at God and say, God, this is what I admire about you. God, just personally, I am thankful for your grace and your mercy. I'm thankful for your love. God, I'm thankful for your truth. God, I'm thankful for your jealousy, that you are a God that loves me enough, that you will defend me and fight for me. God, I love you for your justice and your mystery and your unity and your freedom. God, there are these characteristics of you, and I just want to thank you for that because I personally have benefited from them. I can personally thank God when I begin to kind of look at my life a little bit and go, whoa, you know, I know what my life would look like without God. I've seen the depravity and the darkness of my own heart enough that I know where I would be and what I would be doing if Jesus wasn't a part of my life. And so I can step back and go, God, thank you so much. Thank you that you have saved me from that. God, thank you that you have not only saved me from that, but you are getting that heart of rebellion out of me every single day, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me and rooting those things out from their core so that I can have more of you. So God, thank you so much for that. And I can begin to just look at my life and be personally thankful for all the things that God has done. But then I can also be generally thankful. And I can look around and go, God, I'm thankful that I woke up this morning. I'm thankful that I got to go on a hike with my family this week. God, I thank you for the fact that it's raining outside and I can feel the rain. I'm not ready to be thankful for the rain, but I'm thankful that I can feel the rain, right? That I have nerves and endings and these things that you've done. And God, I thank you so much that we had such a great summer. God, we are just so blessed. I thank you for electricity. I thank you for my heartbeat. Thank you for Wi-Fi. One of my favorite general things to be thankful for really is my heartbeat. Because at times it dawns on me that if I had to control my own heart, I would have died a long time ago. Right? Because I would have been sitting there having to tell my heart to beat and going, heartbeat, heartbeat, beat heart, beat heart. Which one is it? Heartbeat or beat heart? Heartbeat, beat, beat heart. And then somebody would walk in the room and I'd be like, hi, and I would fall over dead. Because I wouldn't be able to concentrate long enough on telling my heart to beat. And so I can go, God, I thank you that I have a healthy heart that beats. And I know you put that in everybody, but you put one in me. And so God, thank you so much. And because we really can be thankful for the general things in life. And sometimes in the hardest of seasons, those are the moments where I just have to sit down and start writing all of the general things that I am thankful for. To help my heart shift into that posture. And so we can be personally thankful and generally thankful, but also I would encourage us to be specifically thankful. To look down in your life and look over your history. Look over the things and go, God, here are the specific things that you have done in my life. Here are the specific things that have happened that brought me to this place and in this time. God, here are the areas that you have given me. I need to write down those joys, and I need to begin to find joy in you in the small, even simple things. So God, I'm specifically thankful for my bride. I'm specifically thankful for a team of people that I get to work with. That work really hard to help us create environments that we can enjoy and be a part of, even when screens go blue and things begin to mess up. God, I'm thankful that we even have a facility to do this. God, I get to work and be a part of this. God, I want to write that specific thing down. You can even begin to be specifically thankful for weird things. I've shared this book with you before, but it's worth doing again. It's a book called Every Moment Holy. And what I love about this book is that it just has a bunch of random prayers in here that honestly, they use language that I wouldn't use. And so there's things like for enjoying a sunset or for serving other people. There's a prayer for when you're shopping. I love that we could pray before we go. There's a prayer for first waking up. But there's another prayer in here, and it's a prayer that I've begun to pray more and more in my life. As you, many of you know about me, my wife and I have 5 kids, 7 and under. It means we have changed a lot of diapers in the past 7 years. Not only that, but just let you know, we have another kid coming in February. Okay, I know. Oops. There was like this simultaneous, ha, and some of you were like, oh. I feel like it's that moment with Jim Gaffigan where it's like, hey, we're pregnant. Everybody's like, yay, with our fifth. Oh, so yeah, nobody claps for that one. Is this our fifth or sixth, babe? You're in the room. Is this six? This is six. That's bad. So needless to say, we've changed a lot of diapers, and we're about to change some more. And there's a prayer in here called changing diapers. And I just think it's a great illustration of how we can pray for even the simple things. Oh, Lord, what a mess we sometimes make of our lives. What a tragic comedy is even our most sincere attempt to merit righteousness on our own. We are no more able to render ourselves holy than is this infant to keep itself unsoiled. I am as dependent upon your grace and your own righteousness, O Christ, to justify and make me clean, as this little one is dependent upon me to wash the residue of filth from its skin, wrapping it again in soft and freshly laundered garments. Let me not be frustrated by the constant repetition of this necessary act on behalf of a child. Rather, let the daily doing of this be a reminder to me of the constant cleansing and covering of my own sin, that I, helpless as this babe and more often in need, enjoy in the active mercies of Christ. Right? Like, who knew that changing a diaper could be a holy moment? But when you begin to say, God, I am thankful for who you are. I'm thankful for the ways that you have generally blessed all of us. But God, there are specific rhythms in my life right now, like changing a diaper multiple times a day, that God, I can find you in this moment and be thankful for you even here. You see, this is the beautiful part of having a thankful heart. Which is why I would said at the beginning that no matter what season of life you are in, there's a song for that. And yes, there's sometimes that we need to have the songs of praise and of wisdom and of lament. But I believe that in every season, we can find those silver linings to say, God, I'm going to be thankful for today. I'm going to choose to do it. It's something my kids and I do every night at dinner. We sit down as we eat together on most nights. And I kind of make them go around the table. And I'm like, hey, what's one thing you were thankful for today? What's one thing? And most of the time they can say something and it's the thing you would expect. I got to play with my friends. I got to ride my bike. I got to whatever. But every now and then one of them's like, oh, all of it. And I'm like, no. I want you to be specific. I'm so glad that we have a thankful heart. But what was the thing? Every now and then too, they'll look at me and go, nothing. And I go, no. I know you were in trouble and grounded and in time out a whole lot today. You have a lot to change. But there's something that you can be thankful for. There's something in there that you can be, and so find it. And they'll go through their minds and they'll find that thing. So believe if we just slow down, change our perspective, and look hard enough, we'll see that in life we can actually always engage in a song of thanksgiving.